What is the most popular thing in the world?
Music.
No.
Tell me.
Ice cream. Okay. Everyone has it. And what is the problem with ice cream?
I have no idea.
It drips.
Okay.
Hail Trump! Hail our people! Hail victory!
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
I'm not going to give you a question.
Can you stay categorically?
You are fake news.
Sir,
go ahead.
Can you state categorically that nobody... No, Mr. President-elect, that's not appropriate.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay? It's like incredible.
I better use some Tic Tacs just in case they start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. I just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy. I can do anything.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Now we can talk about Putin. I don't know Putin. He said nice things about me. If we got along well, that would be good. If Russia and the United States got along well and went after ISIS, look, Putin, from everything I see, has no respect for this person.
Well, that's because he'd rather have a puppet as president of
no
the United
puppet,
States.
No puppet.
And it's pretty clear.
You're the puppet.
It's pretty clear you won't admit
no,
that
the
Russians have engaged in...
A new word has entered our political lexicon, kompromat. That's Russian for a dossier used to blackmail someone. CNN reported last night that Russian intelligence agencies had obtained compromising material about Donald Trump. He's condemned the reports. The president-elect tweeted, "Fake news, a total political witch hunt."
This is Infants on Thrones. The philosophies of men mingled with humor. We are the Quorum.
What's up, Jake?
Nothing much. What's going on with you?
Nothing. I'm just wondering if you've come to your senses yet on this whole thing, but...
I better start recording then.
I've already. Okay.
Throwing gauntlets already.
Did you listen to that? Did you listen to the interview with Ben Smith?
No, Ben Smith. Which one's that?
Ben Smith is the CEO of BuzzFeed, and he did an interview with Brian Ramsey. I don't remember Anyway, the editor of the New Yorker.
Oh, okay.
Interviewed him, and I mentioned it in one of the emails. But he interviewed him, and they went. They discussed in depth kind of all the context of why they decided to publish the dossier when they published it. Mm. And it really, really made me question. It's not as credible as you think it is. It's not really that credible of a document. The BuzzFeed, when BuzzFeed decided to publish it, reputable journalistic institutions had looked at it, had pored over it, had tried to verify the claims, could not verify it. And BuzzFeed themselves admitted they didn't publish it for a long time. They sat on it for months because they couldn't verify any of the claims. And nothing changed when they published it. They just published it because they saw that like Trump and Obama had been briefed on it. And so they're like, oh, we're just going to publish it.
Well,
so
it was an hour after CNN had published the story about Obama
about
and
being
Trump
briefed.
Getting briefed on it. Right. So I will concede to you 100%. At the time they published it, it was an extremely controversial decision. I think it's still very controversial in the journalistic realm for it to be published and just for them to just throw it out there. Okay, completely agree with you on that. So what's your
vision of this, Scott? How do you see this going?
Well, so I don't know if you guys heard the thing that I emailed out, but I put together just kind of a goofy. Did you like that, Jake?
I did like it.
Audio.
Although, am I allowed to insert clips that are critical of the dossier?
No, do your
own. You guys want video?
Do your own episode if you're going to do that.
All right, fine.
Okay. For this episode, I want this episode to sort of be the first real episode where instead of actually talking about the, reading it and commenting on the dossier itself, I just want to get out the, this will be our disclaimer episode. So any concerns that people have, all the reasons why Jake thinks this is a horrible idea, all of his concerns, all the reasons why this is a bad idea and it's uncredible and all of that.
Unethical.
Unethical. Even
right. Unethical, yeah, feeding into the cycle of fake news and weaponized misinformation that has plagued our country. Yes.
Yeah. So bring all that on, and I hope you feel like you can say, give us the unvarnished version of Jake's thoughts on this, because that's what I want to hear. And then in future, and then I want to schedule some future episodes where we actually start pounding through the contents of it without the hand wringing over this.
Right. Okay. So it's like, do it. Yeah.
get it out of your system, Jake, is what he's saying.
Vent it out now. And then that's, All right. That's fine. That's fine. I mean, I think that this is great. So, it's generous. You mean you didn't have to hear me out your episode.
It's not,
I appreciate it.
It's not 100% just catering to you. I mean, it's definitely part of that, but I'm just kidding. But the controversy surrounding this is an interesting part of the story. And, a lot of my interest with this is in taking all these different pieces that we have. We've got things that have been going on in the media. We've got statements that are coming out of the administration. We've got drama that's going on this week with people like Michael Flynn. We've got this actual document to work from. And all of these things are sort of in motion and
happening too fast to digest.
Yeah. I mean, you've really got to have you've got to kind of be obsessed with the story right now to understand everything that's going on with it. It's happening so fast, but the interesting,
especially when half of the information you're working with isn't credible or true. It's really hard to keep
that's
it straight.
That's an interesting baseline to start with. So, but the interesting part to me is to look at all of that and sort of say, okay, how do we assess people's credibility? What kind of weight do we give to various evidence? How do we use circumstantial evidence compared to, demanding this kind of direct, strict proof? And in, something that BuzzFeed put out in their statement about this, I think was relevant, but sort of we're in 2017, and has the journalistic expectation or has the journalistic mindset changed at all in approaching some of these things? And I think to a large extent it has in the era of WikiLeaks and things like that. I think in certain contexts it can make sense for a news outlet to take some liberties when that might be justified and this thing is so big, like this, the 35 pages itself is very, very dense. And so hopefully in an audio format like this, we'll be able to, for interested listeners, we'll be able to walk them through everything that's there in and present it in a way that might be hard for them to digest otherwise.
And that's my primary interest in this too, is that it forces me to be one of those voices that reads through it so that I can see it firsthand and not just hear bits and pieces and excerpts. But so I'm interested to see what this is really all about.
I want to turn the time over to Brother Jake here and have him unleash his fury and tell me, explain your approach to this. Assume at this point the listeners have already heard sort of the intro and therefore understand the context for it. Where are you coming out with this? Because in our email exchange, just talking about setting up this, and this is a little bit of background for the listeners, you and I had some fairly intense discussion about whether or not we should be doing this, and you have strong feelings about that.
Yeah. So I feel strongly that the unconfirmed, unverified, unvetted portions, contents of the dossier, some of the contents of the dossier have been vetted and confirmed through legitimate journalistic institutions. Most of them have been like circumstantial type things, like certain conversations took place at a certain time between certain people. But the meatier part of the allegations in this dossier have not been confirmed. My issue with it is that in the case of the 2016 election, the phenomenon of fake news was something that had major implications for the outcome of the election. And the reason that fake news was the reason that it was so effective is because what people would do is they would produce these stories with dubious allegations or unverified allegations, and then they would circumvent the traditional journalistic channels that could kind of suss out the truth of the matter, even when it's like partisan. It can be partisan, but there's still like kind of journalistic expectations. They would circumvent those traditional journalistic channels to go right to the middlemen of people like us, people with a blog or a radio show or some sort of public voice that would look at these allegations and be like, well, we don't really know if they're true or not, but you know, if they're true, this is really some serious stuff. So we really need to talk about whether the Clintons are running a sex ring out of a pizza parlor in New York. And the very idea of that, there's this feedback loop of just hearing a lie or just hearing an unproven allegation or something that ends up not being true. Hearing it enough makes you think, gives it validity in people's minds. This is a well-known psychological phenomenon that's been studied over and over and over. So basically, there's been so much bullshit and so much fake information that has influenced the conversation around this election that I think it's important not to give the life cycle of fake news, the channels by which fake news gets into the bloodstream, any credence by being people like us who are taking unverified allegations and talking through them in detail. One allegations that many of which we have no idea or no way of really knowing if they're true or not. And doing that, I think, is inherently harmful because there's a difference between when this dossier came out, when it was published by BuzzFeed, Trump said, it's fake news, it's bullshit, don't listen to it, it's phony. Nobody really could come back with anything with a counterargument to that because the stuff wasn't actually verified. It was like, well, we don't really know yet. But take the difference between that and him saying fake news when Michael Flynn steps down for real journalism that was done to verify that he had misled that he had lied to the vice president and had contacted and discussed the Russian sanctions prior to President Trump taking taking office. You know, there's a real difference between real actual facts and the impact that they can have. That him stepping down has instigated Republicans calling for bipartisan investigation committees the links between. Yes, sort of. Yes, they are. I mean, they're not all getting on board, but yes, there are.
No. But it's a limited investigation. Hi, this is Matt, by the way. I just came in 10 minutes. I don't know how long you guys.
Yeah, but how many investigations were proposed by Republicans after the dossier was published?
I believe the correct answer is zero.
No, a lot of them have been.
Matt, you might want to check your microphone.
Really, been suggested by Republicans? No.
Do you not,
none.
Jake, are you not familiar with this? Do you really not? Are you seriously saying that there's been no Republicans that have been calling for investigations into Trump after the dossier has been published?
No, none that gained any traction. None that gained any of the traction. That, I mean, people can say things, but they're not people. Nobody in like a position of actual ability to make these investigations happen have been seriously pursuing this in the way that they've been talking about these starting investigations after Michael Flynn was exposed as lying and then resigned. There's a difference between real journalism and just throwing a bunch of shit against the wall and seeing what sticks.
Oh,
and that's not the And this is not and circumventing the journalistic channels and just putting all these allegations, all it does is create more noise and bullshit, where if half these allegations turn out to be false, which some have already been disproven, it just strengthens the case and delegitimizes the American press corps.
Now let's stop there for a minute. Two things. One, you're factually wrong about what you're saying about Republicans. Okay. So McCain personally took this dossier to the head of the FBI and has been calling for an investigation into Trump's ties with Russia. John McCain, the senator, one of the most powerful politicians in the country, has been calling for that. Okay. The second thing that you said there about,
but none of these investigations have actually gone anywhere. Were any of them actually started?
He's been in office for 25 days. This is like, we're so premature on this process right now.
Yeah, but there's not nearly as much movement. Look, the dossier came and nothing, nobody stepped down, nobody was indicted, nothing happened. Real journalism happened, and the next fucking day, Flynn steps down.
Okay, hold on.
That's real. Real actual journalism, and the bullshit that you're trying to say. Oh, as people that don't really actually know anything, but I pretty much know it's bullshit and not, and I can figure this out. That's the exact channel by which fake news has been so effective. Is people like us that don't actually know what we're doing, not professional journalists, taking unverified allegations and then just repeating them over and over and over and talking about them in great detail. Okay. That's the exact same channel.
You're so far off the rails. It's hard to even know where to start with this. Okay. So
I'm not. I'm serious. Like, look, this is the exact same. These are the issues. This is the exact same problem that journalistic institutions all had with BuzzFeed's publishing of the dossier.
Right.
They've continued to criticize them for this. This week, John Oliver did a piece about how to combat fake news, and it was, if you find an allegation, investigate it to see if there's anything really behind it. Major.
Wait! Stop it! Isn't that what we're trying to do, Jake?
No. But he says think before sharing it. Think before sharing it.
Okay, exactly. So John Oliver was talking only to professional journalists there?
No, to everyone. Think before you share something on social media.
You don't have – this is unverified stuff.
Oh, my gosh. You keep saying it's unverified. Okay.
Fuck. Can I say something?
Yeah.
I think your microphone's not – I think it's your built-in microphone, Matt, so you're not picking up as well.
I don't know. It says it's my good one. But if I sound like shit, I don't care, because oh my gosh, Jake, you have conflated the concept of what fake news is to a point of any time anyone mentions anything that does not hold a certain level of journalistic standards, it's fake news. That's not what fake news is, and that's not what John Oliver said. And by the way, John Oliver is not a fucking journalist either. So. But set that aside.
No. Bullshit. No. Fuck you.
No. Fuck you. No. Fuck you, Jake. Fuck you. I'm gonna finish, and then you can respond, because you've had since I've been on, you haven't stopped talking. You haven't stopped talking. So you can.
Okay. Go jerk yourself off. Go.
Fuck, man. There is a difference between sharing something as if it is a news article and talking about something and saying, let's discuss this and see if there is anything there. Let's get into the meat of this. What you said is if it's – don't share it as it – what I'm saying is don't share it as if it is news. And that is what fake news is saying, hey, this is an article that says this things and this has credibility. That's very different than saying, let's get into some information and let's evaluate the – reliability, the quality, all those things. That's what we're doing. I think what we're doing is trying.
You actually don't have the tools. You're not you don't have the tools or the resources to actually validate the credibility.
Did you just say I don't?
No, you don't.
Yes, no, I actually
you don't,
do.
Because you're
I
not. Look, CNN. CNN, New York Times, The Atlantic, The New Yorker, all the major journalistic institutions, people with thousands of years of journalistic experience have thrown their weight against this dossier and have not been able to come up with a news story out of it.
Sure, that's
and you're going to break the case. Jay, Matt Long is going to break the case right here.
That's patently false. There's been many, many news stories about this going back to October.
About the dossier, but not confirming it, the underlying narrative of the dossier is that
this.
Wait, I want to talk now. Okay. I want to say something.
Bullshit.
Because
oh my
God. I agree with Jake's concerns, and I think his concerns are valid. Where I think we're talking past each other is on things like who's confirming, like Jake saying we're not qualified to confirm that this is news, but Jake, I don't think that's what we're saying that we want to do. I think your concerns are valid, especially saying I don't want this podcast that I'm an important part of to become part of the problem in a fake news cycle and creating fake news. So if we're able to then say, here's exactly what that means with fake news, and then we can decide whether this is fake news, what we're doing or not, and are we avoiding the things that you want us to avoid? I think that's possible, but we're just like bashing each other. But going anywhere with it.
Okay. Can I comment?
Because he's taking a ridiculous position, and that position is we don't have the ability to take a lot of information and to apply our training, our skills, our brains, and say, yeah, based on the general way to apply truth and reliability and credibility, we you're saying we don't have the ability to evaluate that and say, yeah, there is corroboration or circumstantial evidence for this because of all these different things, and this is bullshit, and there is not on this. But because there is not there isn't something that can validate it, or it hasn't been verified, that is not a basis to say therefore everything is bullshit, and that's the flaw.
No.
that you are doing. So yes, we do have the tools to look at everything and say, yeah, this does not have, this isn't, doesn't pass the sniff test, there isn't enough information here, but this does. So it's a deep dive into that, and that is the opposite of fake news, and it's the opposite of sharing.
Okay, it's not the opposite of fake news. Okay. It's so there's three categories. There's three categories. There's real news. There's real news that has been validated by professional journalists. There is non-real news, which is unverified allegations that haven't been that haven't been debunked or supported. And then there's fake news, which is news that was later proved to be false. I'm not saying that this is fake news. This is unreal news. This is not verified information. So I'm saying that what we're doing is we're spewing out a bunch of information of among which could be what becomes later fake news when disproved.
You know, Jake, what you're saying there about news is almost like the faith definition in the Book of Mormon, the things that are not seen or hoped for and not seen but are true. You're like adding that "but are true" onto it, and so you're saying if something isn't true, then it's not news. Like news, it has to be true. Like just the fact that this thing exists is news. The fact that people are aware of this and they're talking about it, it's news.
Yeah, but there's a well-known.
There's
an established psychological phenomenon where just repeating an allegation lends it credibility.
So when we were going through the Book of Abraham SmackDown and we were smacking down LDS.org.
Don't interrupt it. Hey, Jake. Time out, everybody. Time out. Jake, we're all giving you lots of time here to explain your side of it, and you can't keep interrupting when other people have arguments against it. Okay? So go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah. I mean, the psychological fact that just stating something, people are going to gravitate towards that. We state things all the time that we don't expect our listeners to take at face value or that we're supporting, so for us to say this is happening right now in the world, it's interesting, there's this dossier, let's take a look at the contents of it. That's not saying, hey, you guys, look at how true all of this is. It's in this dossier, so it's true. And let's be anti-Trump and let's flame up the fans of, hysteria. I think that's part of what you're concerned about, but I don't think that's not what I'm interested in doing with this. I don't think that's what Scott's interested in doing with this either. It's investigating him. And then what did you say? Using it kind of as a case study to talk about how do you evaluate the veracity or, you know, potential credibility of source material. I mean, that could be really interesting.
Yeah. It could be, but do we need to go through line by line 40 pages of something that's mostly unverified? I mean, we're going to say the same disclaimer after every paragraph.
No, so here's the thing. You guys all are, well, not you guys all, but what Bob just said and what Jake has said about 1,000 times is making the same error, okay? You're calling this thing unverified, okay? When that's really not a very good characterization. In fact, that's sort of fake news. What you're saying, the way that you're categorizing that, I say that in jest. This isn't unverified.
You just pulled a Trump. You just okay. Repurposed a term right. That somebody else came up right. with and right. used it for
and
the
applied
exact
it completely
opposite.
Wrong. Yeah. No. So
it's a Kellyanne Conway.
Yeah. Exactly. No. So let me explain my problem with just saying, well, this thing's unverified. Okay. That's actually feeding into this same intellectual laziness having to do with this thing. Okay. It's not unverified. It's something that we know came from a specific person with a specific background who was hired for a specific purpose. Okay.
For who? But from whom we don't know. We don't actually know who hired him.
No, that's not actually true. So Jake, here's the
true.
Thing. You say that and you don't understand the facts of this. So
yes, I do, dude. I talked like Ben Smith, CEO of BuzzFeed, who made the decision to publish this, said we don't have any original reporting about who was funding the opposition research.
Right, on January 10th when he published it. We're sitting here on February 15th. And honestly, Jake, if you don't understand that we know at this point who published it, you shouldn't be saying that.
Because you know who published it? BuzzFeed.
No. We know who hired Christopher Steele. We know the person who hired him. Okay, this is in the New York Times article from January 11th. It's the day after BuzzFeed published it. The New York Times published an article explaining all about this. And this is in my intro, but there's the group was called Fusion GPS. They're the ones who actually went out and hired it. The guy's name is Glenn Simpson. He's the person who went and hired Christopher Steele to do this opposition research on Trump. Okay. Christopher Steele is the former MI6 agent who's the one who authored this. That was published in October. The fact that this was a thing that was out there, that was published in October by David Korn, a legitimate journalist with Mother Jones. Okay. So the provenance of this thing is hugely important to the story that we're talking about here. If this were just some random PDF that was floating around on the internet, I would completely agree with you. But the mistake that you're making is you're blowing right past the provenance of it. You're blowing right past the author of it, the credibility and the weight that should be given to the author, and the way that this thing has come about. You're treating that as if it's nothing in this scenario. But it's not nothing. That's extremely important who the source of this information is.
But it still doesn't empower you to be able to validate the elements of this dossier that are yet unvalidated. There are portions of the dossier that
have been confirmed. Hold on. So let's get to that portion of what you're saying is unverified or unconfirmed, okay? What you really mean, I think, when you say that is you mean that they are yet to be independently validated by journalists at this point, right?
Yes, that's okay. What it means.
So then let's frame it as that these points, specific points that are within this 35-page document, there are many of those points which have not yet been independently vetted. Okay? That is not to say, though, and that is very different than saying what you've been saying all along, is that these are unverified and nobody knows if these are true. Okay, that's not the case, and we have good reason. We have good reason to believe that that's actually not the case. Okay?
Yes, so we Scott, do have good reason. Look, there have been – okay, fine.
Because the guy who wrote this had lots of other sources that he cites in there. He had lots of other areas to come from. Now, you may say that source, the Christopher Steele, the MI6 agent who wrote this, you may say he's not credible or that this hasn't been independently verified. But so, that's not the same as just throwing this out there as if nobody has ever confirmed anything what's in here. Okay?
And to be sure, I have never fucking said that. I have never fucking said that this entire thing is unverified. There have been elements. I said at the very beginning, the very first, like the second sentence I said, was that there are elements of this that have been confirmed.
Yeah. The other thing but you said
the was things that have not been confirmed and that are unverified are the things that make up the backbone of the underlying narrative, which is that Donald Trump is being blackmailed or coerced or is subject to some sort of coercion from Russian operatives.
Yeah, and that part of it, I think, is that's an element of the allegations, but it's not the big story, I don't think. I think the big story is that there was early collusion between the Trump campaign and Russians. The blackmail stuff is – and the most salacious parts of that – you know, I'm not able to say that those are true or not true. It's
yeah.
It's
so let's not talk about those.
Well, so but no, like, that's a, so, but that's such a
don't talk about bizarre... those ones until they're verified and until they're actually verified by journalists.
Yeah. So that's Scott, can I just ask you a question?
Yeah, sure, Bob.
I asked this in email, but you sort of blew past it because there's so much going on. But what? Why not? You seem to have done tons of research, more than me and probably a lot of us. Why not leverage that research in choosing which parts of this we talk about in the first place? Why do you want to treat it with an equal baseline where every single line of all 40 pages gets read out rather than saying, hey, I've already done my research. Because you know, I have a Scott. Yeah, I was just going to say, like, let's say you have a Scott rating system just to make it fun, and I'm only going to talk about the 4 out of 5s or higher, you know, in terms of the pieces of information here that are pretty credible versus just like starting like with a baseline of anything goes.
Yeah. So I'm not alleging that anything that's in the dossier that I have independent knowledge of, and anybody who listens to this, that is going to be very clear to them. I want to read it in its entirety so that people who listen to this will be able to understand all of what's in there. And it's not me choosing to be the filter of, well, this part you get to hear and this part I don't think is as good, so therefore I'm going to pull it out. That's me making a judgment call as to which parts of it are going to be...
But you're making the judgment anyway in your commentary on which part. You're just going to say what you're not going to do. No. Like, what's the difference between reading it all and then commenting on that,
because
those aspects?
Because it's commenting on it. It's like if you listen to commentary in the news, you're not thinking that the commentators who are commenting on the news are the same thing as a reporter who are reporting on facts on the ground. Like, this is such a weird insertion of a journalistic standard on our podcast that Jake is making. In my opinion, I think it's so bizarre because we talk about stuff all the time that's unconfirmed and unverified, and we're going so far out of our way on this to make sure that the listeners understand the context for this in detail, that like the chances of somebody hearing this and then just assuming that it's true, I mean, that's
very high, because that's how it works psychologically.
So interrupt me and make the opposite point.
I mean, you just I mean, what I'm saying is, I totally agree that this doesn't apply. That this is a total double standard. I totally agree that me taking this bent, I would not take this bent about any other content or any other subject matter. I just think that it's relevant because of the context, the social context of the impact of people continuing to repeat unverified allegations, some of which later were fake news, and the impact that had on the outcome of the election and the kind of struggle over like what is real and what's really happening in our country. I think that's a real struggle right now, and it's different than I just think that like the context of the election makes this a special case. That's why I'm treating it differently, and I totally agree that it is bizarre.
Yeah, I think it's great that you're self aware and you just said double standard, but I think what you're doing is trying to avoid one double standard, and you're willing to put yourself in the place of another, because the other double standard is, you know, quote unquote, the other side. If we just say that there was a lot of impact from fake news and this sort of commentary on stuff that's whatever it is that Scott's comfortable with calling it, that created a lot of frustration, and you don't want to perpetuate the same type of cycle, even if it's just from the other angle. So you'd rather say, okay, I don't want to participate, or I don't feel comfortable participating in this process, because this is exactly what really fucked us over from the other side in a lot of ways. So I'd rather just leave it alone. And I recognize that that's a double standard, because normally I'm willing to talk about anything, you know, and bullshit about whatever, because that's, you know, we just have a good time on the podcast normally. But this one's a little different. Did I butcher that? Sorry, Jake.
I think you made your point.
Yeah.
Matt had his finger raised.
Yes. Sorry. And Matt, I will not interrupt. I'm not interrupting for the rest of the show. I promise. I've been a dick. I promise.
Cut me off once I go too far, or go too long. So my problem with something that Bob said there, and it does tell my frustration, I think, with Jake's premise, which is, this is the problem of what's been going on with regards to fake news. This is the problem of, you know, to say what we're doing in carefully going through all the information and acknowledging this is what we don't know. No one has done that. That's not the problem. Providing more information and a careful, self-aware commentary is the opposite of fake news. And I do take an issue with, well, we're doing the same thing as what brought us here, and this is why we have problems, and this is why the election, you know, went this way, which is, I think, the point that both Bob made just now and that Jake made earlier. And that's what I was so frustrated in pushing back against, and that's what I want to push back against. I'm having a real tough time seeing how doing a deep dive with as self-aware as Scott's been acknowledging all the things that you've acknowledged, and the fact that we're having this discussion is somehow the same as fake news. I think that's just so categorically unfair and untrue. And that's why I'll say what we're proposing is doing the opposite, providing information and letting people evaluate it. And I'm trying really hard to understand in what universe it makes sense to say, until certain journalistic standards are met, people on this issue, and I grant you, Jake, you're saying this is different. It should not be even discussed. That's what I'm just to me, I feel like I'm, you know, Mugatu taking crazy pills.
So let's walk through a test case, and I know that Scott's going to balk at this just because I brought it up, and he doesn't think that it's a credible comparison, but I do think. When
you were about to give a terrible analogy,
the people that, so if we were like, okay, well, this is the opposite of fake news, is only visible in hindsight. It's only visible once the information has been debunked, or once it's been able to be debunked.
I would disagree.
So you can just spot fake news, right? Just right. So you know which parts of this dossier are real and fake.
No.
Oh, okay. So if the parts of the dossier that are not true and were just made up, like the story of like him peeing on a prostitute or whatever, that's not fake news.
Show me the article where the article where a news outlet says this part of this dossier is true and this is what happened and it's been confirmed. That would be fake news. Okay. The fact that it's alleged to have happened and we are adding context to that, talking about what's not known, talking about developments related to the story, that's not fake news. Okay. So there's lots of questions out there around this, and we're going to be talking about those questions. But your characterization of something, I can spot fake news because A, it doesn't come from a credible news outlet. B, it's not backed up by primary sources. C, it doesn't pass the smell test, or it's not corroborated by other things. Okay. I mean, there's lots of stuff that you can do with that to eliminate fake news, but you're just putting this in the box of fake news.
No, I'm putting it in the box of unreal news. Unreal news is unverified.
Okay. So this is your middle. This is your newly your newly defined category unreal news.
Right. So there's this limbo of unreal news. And that's where unverified that's where the dossier where the unverified portions of the dossier live in this unreal news portion. The second that they can be disproved, then it's fake news.
Right. But the elements of the so this is your problem. The elements that are in this dossier that haven't been confirmed are not news because they're not being published as news, and we're not publishing them as news. We're not publishing them as the headline. Hey, guess what? Manafort had this and this and this conversation. We're saying there's this dossier. Here's the context for it. Here's what it alleges. It says that this happened. That's very, 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 very different.
Okay, so there's this document. There's a bill from a pizza parlor that has Bill Clinton there, and we know there was a child there that accused somebody of rape. So we can really, I mean, we have these you don't think that people that put together. So let's say that we were having a conversation like Ancient Aliens, or let's say we were having a conversation about like the pizza parlor sex ring thing. Like, would it be damaging at all to just talk about – we're just talking about it, okay? We're just going to go really deeply, and we're just going to really and we're not going to say whether or not it's true or
You're
not.
Ignoring
but
the
we're
going to
go
again.
Really, really deeply through – no, but you can't take the source and say this lends credibility to the unverified portion
exactly
of this document.
What we do. That's what we do all the time.
No, you can't do that.
In this case. Yes, I don't think that you can do that in this case, because what you're doing is you're taking the unverified portions and you're giving them credibility – like you take the things that have been validated and then you're just inferring credibility to the portions that haven't been validated.
And
that's the same thing. You're taking this gray area and you're projecting onto it what you want. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly the same cycle as what people – when fake news comes out is people leave this gray area open. Oh, well, it may not be true. It may not be false. But we're just going to talk about it. I mean, we're just going to talk about it. You make up your own mind about what it is. Well,
so what you're saying is we don't assess the credibility of sources when we look at issues.
No, I'm saying that in this case, and again, this is a special case, in the case of news about Donald Trump and especially information that compromises him, I just don't think there's any room to throw bullshit out there that the potential bullshit.
Well, when you label it bullshit first, then the conversation's kind of over right there.
No, but
my point is
you're not verified information that could contain bullshit in it delegitimizes the integrity of the American press corps. And like,
nobody in the American press corps is publishing the details in this that haven't been verified.
Exactly. So let's just talk about those details. That's what I'm saying. Let's just talk about those details.
I feel like you're not understanding my point. The difference is with the analogy that you gave, I don't know why you brought up aliens, but with the analogy that you brought up with the pizza thing, okay? What was the source of that? Someone who, in that context, who was making the allegations, was it someone who had a high credibility in the first place, or was it someone who had a low credibility in the first place? That's what I'm suggesting is a very important starting point in asking the question of how do we deal with this specific document that was drafted by Christopher Steele. We look at the context in which it was created, the provenance of it. And we look at his personal credibility on this issue. And
Scott,
that's a big difference than just, oh, there's some receipt from a pizza place. Like,
I made that part of it up. Everyone's wrong. Okay, Bob, go ahead. I feel like
I just feel like, Scott, your point is irrelevant if the whole point of having the conversation is that there's different levels of credibility within the content that this single source has brought to us. Then what is the point of saying the single source has X level of credibility if the whole point is to differentiate between his crappy stuff and his good stuff in the singular document? So, like what does that help us with to say that this source is a good source if the whole point of the conversation is to dissect
crappy stuff and crappy stuff and good stuff? It's not I didn't think it was crappy stuff and good stuff. It's what has been verified and what hasn't
whatever.
Been verified.
Use whichever words I'm just saying.
Yeah, but there's real
that's
or
a huge difference.
I'm just saying
as you read the dossier, you'll see in there that there's places where he says this was confirmed by source A, B, and C, And it was mm-hmm. also backed up by my conversation with so-and-so, okay? There's other places where he says, this was confirmed by source E, who is a Russian informant, okay?
Okay.
And so it's not rocket science to look at that and say, wow, for this allegation right here, this person who wrote this, Christopher Steele, had three different sources. Again, according to him, this is all framed in the context of according to him.
Okay, this is helpful.
That's not particularly difficult to do.
So again, but to Bob's point, like why? I just don't understand what's the point of going through every detail of the dossier, especially the ones that are A, unverified, and B, like more dubious. And what does it have to do? Like that doesn't have any like the credibility of the author or the primary source doesn't really when you're going with a line item like detail by detail, allegation by allegation, treatment of whether or not these are true or credible, you can't just say, well, it comes from a pretty good source, so we can kind of assume that it's true. I mean, why not just say that and just say this whole document's true? I mean, it seems like you're just using that as an excuse to go through the whole document, even though you know that there are things in this document that probably aren't true, but you don't really have the ability to know which ones are true and which ones aren't because you don't have the resources of a professional journalistic institution.
Okay, two things. One, you're assuming, and I don't know why, because I thought I'd been perfectly clear on this point, you're assuming that I'm going to be making any kind of truth claims as to whether or not some part of this is
you're just going to read them. You're not going to comment. Like when you comment on them, what are you going to be commenting on?
Scott,
let me know when you're done. Cause I don't like to speak over people.
Okay, fine. Go ahead.
Okay. So when you say that, I'm saying, let's read this thing. Let's give it context. Let's tell the listeners what this is, let's give them all the reasons out there to doubt this, all the reasons that are there, anything that gets disproven in this. I want to treat this as a source document that we're going to go through and dissect. Okay, I'm not treating this as something that we're going to be able to go through and say, well, we have found that this thing is true, and the listeners need to believe us on that. We can give our own opinion, but that's all it is. And you know what? If people want to find our podcast, listen to these first couple episodes where we're talking about this and listen to the whole thing and hear my personal opinion on it, that's all it is. It's not authoritative. It's not anything that I need to be worried about as spreading of fake news or some kind of nonsense. The second thing the second beef that I have with what you were just saying is you're, without any knowledge, you're implying that there's big parts of this which are wrong.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Which you don't know, and you're maligning and you're impugning someone who you have absolutely no basis to do that with. Something you said previously was that there are parts of this which are known to be false. Okay, and I want to address that. There's two things in the research that I've done, and anybody else on here, correct me if I'm wrong. I have found two things which are alleged to be incorrect in this. One of them is the spelling of a group called the Alpha. It's like the Alpha Group or the Alpha Company. And they put it in as an F instead of a PH. Okay. So I think we can all agree that's a minor that's a minor mistake at best. The second thing that I've seen cited is that Cohen, Trump's personal lawyer, seems to have an alibi or seems to there seems to be some credibility that he was never in Prague, which is one of the allegations that's in here. OK, and I take that as OK. If he says he was never in Prague. Now, anybody who's traveled in Europe knows it's not very hard to travel around Europe and not have any paperwork stamped or anything like that. So do I take his I don't know what I assessed his credibility to. But if those are the only two things that they've been able to point out as these are the wrong things so far. My needle for where I'm, you know, just going to assume that some of this stuff is wrong. I don't know why I would start there with it.
Well, I think the reason that I start there with it is because of the comments of other institution like CNN and New Yorker and New York Times. I assume that it's wrong, but there are elements of this that it lacks credibility to even publish a story about it. All right, whatever. Say the word that you want me to say. It lacks the blank for them to publish it. Whatever word you want to put in there, I'll gladly put in there.
But lacking a foundation or lacking verification,
yes,
is extremely different than presuming something to be false or starting with the baseline that there is incorrect information in here, which is what you implied multiple times.
Well, because if it can't, the thing is, and I'm doing this because of a reaction of the fake news phenomenon of I don't want
right, to. So
I think,
bringing
the,
your
I think
bias
the mistake.
To it.
Yeah, no, as are you, because you're. I'm making this. I don't want to. I think the mistake of parroting an allegation that is false is much greater than the mistake of not necessarily saying something that was true soon enough.
Parroting an allegation. That's what you're saying that this is.
Well, yeah, that's what it is because we'll be
parroting it.
Yes, yeah. I mean, by repeating the allegation, you'll right. be repeating the allegation because you'll be reading it out of the dossier, right?
Well, you're evaluating the allegation. You're evaluating the allegation.
Yeah. I know.
And this is why. This is
parroting.
This
is
why I want to take an issue.
Biased word. Go ahead, Matt.
But you
and this. So this is where I want to take issue with we're not qualified to do it. Well, fuck you. I'm qualified to do it. That's what I do for a job, and that's what I've been doing for the last—
You're a journalist?
15 years. No, but I've been evaluating allegations, and I've been evaluating evidence, and I've been and I've taught law enforcement that have been around for decades on circumstantial evidence and on corroboration and on standards of proof and on
an espionage.
I'm talking about evidence and I'm talking about evaluating allegations. That's what you said. We're parroting allegations. And I'm saying, no, we're evaluating allegations. So that word does, is different. If we were just to come in and say, blah, here's what was here's the allegations. Isn't that interesting? Boy, that's really damning. If that comes in, that would be parroting allegations and that would be fake news. And that's not what anyone's suggesting that we're doing. I feel like this is already unproductive because we've all said the same goddamn thing the same way. And I don't think we've gotten beyond restating our positions, different ways. My bottom line is, yeah, go ahead, Bob.
I was just going to say, I want to say something that's like unposition related. I think part of the premise for this conversation, and you know, I'm going to be cute a little bit, but you know, we're infants on thrones. And when it comes to talking about Mormonism, we're all pretty decent at it. And we all more or less agree in ways where when we disagree, it's fun and funny. But after talking about this for an hour, I'm certainly not good at this, but I see that Scott and Matt have a lot of passion for this subject matter and they want to give it a go. But to me, it's like, I'm not ready to graduate to being like a toddler on throne or whatever the next level up is to talk about this complicated political thing that requires some sophisticated analysis and whether or not we should talk about certain parts or other parts. I'm going to bow out, you know, for the actual series that Scott's thinking of producing. Because I just don't think I have much to add or that I'm really good at this. But then I check myself because I'm like, well, gosh, I've been out of Mormonism for a long time. I wish I were better. I wish I you know, knew how to evaluate truth in complicated contexts. But I guess that's part of the difference here is I'm more in Jake's camp a little bit, but that's not to say that I don't want to hear Scott and Matt give it a go. It's just that I'm not good at it.
And to be fair, I think Glenn was right to say that parroting them is a charged term. If there's anybody in this world that I trust to go through this dossier and give it the careful, thoughtful treatment it deserves, it's Matt and Scott. I think you'll do as good a job as any amateur could do. But I just
That's not a bad word either.
Yeah. Okay. So but that's true. I mean,
it's true.
In this context, it's true. I'm not.
Yeah.
It's not. Okay. But what I'm saying is, Scott, you're right. I'm bringing my – this is totally my biases coming up to it. The reason that I'm treating
it – It cut out there for a second.
Right.
Did you start that last part over again?
Right. I am bringing – my biases are really influencing the way that I'm approaching this because it's so close to this to the way that I see the effect of unverified information and people's willingness to engage that information before it goes through these what I see proper and necessary journalistic channels to verify it or, you know, de-verify it or whatever, that I am uncomfortable with this type of thing. And I think that I think that going through this type of exercise is going to do more harm than good, just because even though I think that you and Matt and whoever will be on the podcast will look at it with a critical eye, just the act of hearing an allegation, just the act of like hearing it explored in detail lends it credibility. And I don't want to lend credibility to facts that are not to allegations that end up being proven false, because I think the best weapon that you can have against what's going this wave of misinformation is ironclad facts that can do things like make the national security advisor step down.
And you're fearful of that being eroded if too many people like us, or just in general, if, you know, it's a regurgitation of things that may be true and commentary on top of that, but people aren't really parsing it out.
Right. Oh, and it can things that like actual verified ironclad claims that have been vetted by professional journalists. When somebody comes up and says this occurred and Trump says, oh, fake news, they can turn around and say, no, it's not fucking fake news, because look at all the, like, they have all this evidence. They've vetted all this information. They have the primary documents in their possession and can show this is what you texted this day, or these are the calls, or here's the transcript. So, Matt, what are you saying?
I see it so – I realize that you and I are approaching this from such opposite angles, whereas you say, you know, even the repeating of it is problematic. And I'm saying, can it also be an example to show how even amateurs have the ability to take information and evaluate it fairly? You know, steel man the other position, not just take a position because we're anti-Trump and whatnot. And I'll be honest from the Austin, I'm not neutral when it comes to Trump, but that doesn't mean that I can't evaluate information like this that is damaging against him fairly. So I see it as an exercise to demonstrate this might be an example of this is an example of how to evaluate information and evidence and facts and sources, and that's why I think such a big part of this for me is going through and being able to explain where when somebody says it's just circumstantial evidence, that shouldn't be just dismissed. In fact, circumstantial evidence can be very powerful. And so we can have conversations about that. So I see it as an example of really combating exactly the thing that you think we're perpetuating. And I think that's where my frustration lies. And that's why I keep saying it's the opposite of fake news. It's an example to insulate people. And it might even provide that in fairly going through information in a fair and deliberate manner, being aware of, you know, we're acknowledging that we're not just passing this on as this is truth. And that's where I'm having real difficulty in I think appreciating and even understanding your perspective, even though I hear what you're saying and I certainly understand it, but it's just not.
And I probably would. And I understand, and that I mean, the way you described it as like a case study of like evaluating sources and looking at circumstantial evidence. I mean, that sounds like a very interesting exercise, and I probably would be totally on board if it was just a different context than a story about a fucking asshole who was elected president because amateurs perpetuated unverified allegations and weaponized misinformation.
Right.
Even though we would do it better, let's not run the risk of.
Right. Exactly. Because I'm sure that we would do it better.
Yeah. I think one of the big things, I agree with everything Matt just said. I think one of the big things where I'm not on the same track with you is you keep saying amateurs perpetuating this information. And the source of this information is from someone who's very much not an amateur. And that person has been verified as who he is by journalists who are not amateurs. The sources that he's citing in the dossier are being followed up with by the FBI. The allegations that he's put in here have been credible enough to the national security people that they have briefed the president on it. So when your baseline is, hey, I don't want to perpetuate these things that, you know, in your mind have such a low credibility value, I don't think you're starting at a fair position there. Like, I think your hyper-tuned fake news BS radar is fantastic. I think you're making an error on this particular point because I don't think it fits in that same box as the things that got us into trouble with, you know, articles on Facebook that just get shared and people link to things and share things without looking at them at all. Like, that's so 100 miles from what we're doing here. And that's not a fair comparison. And like the other comparisons that you made to come up with an analogous situation, I don't think are fair. And I think what BuzzFeed did in looking at this in this particular context with the things that they knew at the time, I think it's a really tough call to make. I think they really were brave to put themselves out there. It may yet prove a bad decision or something that harms their news organization. But I honestly, just in terms of my own personal opinion, I think the more you get into the story, it's pretty intense of what's there. And the things that have happened this week, I honestly, Jake, I half expected you to come on tonight and say, oh, well, after this stuff, my opinion's changed somewhat, because the things that have happened this week have only further corroborated this. The New York Times article that came out this week has only deepened the amount of credibility that legitimate people, news organizations, people in the government are giving to this. So again, that in this particular applied, you know, very like we're looking at this thing in a microscope here. I don't have those reservations that you do about this being quote unquote fake news or just BS, or they're totally unsubstantiated and there's nothing to it. I will say, and I've said this in my intro, that the golden showers part of the story is a detail amongst the story. And if that detail, if that thing about Trump and the prostitutes, if that's not ever verified, and it may very well never be verified, that has very little to do with the entirety of the rest of the document.
And I think you're right. Your point is well taken, where I understand that the sex pizza parlor is very different than this document, because I think your point is that credibility is a spectrum, right? It's not
right.
Like,
and our belief needs to scale with the evidence. And so it's okay to say, hey, here's 10 or 12 data points that line up. Like, things have been confirmed in this. We know who the source is. He's someone who's credible. The U.S. intelligence agency is taking it as fact. We yet don't have evidence that any substantial piece of this is known to be wrong. Right. Those are all a cluster of data which can inform our reserved opinion of its truth or falsity.
Yes. And I agree that this credibility is a spectrum, and this definitely falls further along the credible side of the spectrum than the sex pizza parlor story. I guess what I'm doing is I'm taking a very conservative position in this particular instance, that the only like really bright red line that I try, like I'm more comfortable sticking with the firewall of large vetted established journalistic institutions and their ability to vet information, you know, due to the as a way of combating the phenomenon of unreal not or quite. of fake, of what ends up becoming fake news or what ends up becoming not false allegations. I would rather, I guess, just because of the context of what fake news and this cycle of this feedback loop of misinformation that pervaded in the election, I'm kind of making it to that binary of like. That's why I didn't, when I came in and Michael Flynn, you know, stepped down and all that, I was like, great, that's something that we can talk about because that's something that's actually been vetted. That's information. I didn't really see that as corroborating the rest of the story because I said, you know, I'm just going to wait on this side of the line, and when the information comes over, then I'll comment on it when there's enough information that it has been, in my mind, properly vetted. I just that's. I'm kind of taking an extreme kind of binary position on this because of the context of the election, but I think your point about credibility being a spectrum is correct.
Can I ask a question? I wonder, I kind of want to hear from Glenn in a way because normally he's the one who steps in and asks, like, is this what people want to hear? Is this, I mean, this is a little new for Infants on Thrones, but we do whatever we want. We want to have fun or whatever, but there's like this paradox in the air of like, we don't take ourselves too seriously, except for we're going to take ourselves really seriously with this one because of all of Jake's concerns. And it just creates this atmosphere of like a tone or of an approach that is less Infants on Thronesy than the rest of those. And that's either good or bad. I'm just stating it. And I'm wondering what listeners think about that, if this is something they want.
I realize you're asking, Glenn, can I throw out my opinion first?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. The one thing that I think we've done a great job of on Infants is when we do our Smackdowns and we actually deal with the text in something, which I think is just an interesting process to go through to say, we're going to take the text, we're going to go through it, we're going to talk about it, we're going to comment on it, because so often our listeners will not have digested that in the entirety of the text. They won't have dealt with those words in any other format. So I think with this in particular, we're suited to do that.
I think one of the things that listeners really like about Infants on Thrones is that they don't know what to expect from episode to episode, whether it's content or format or participants, you know, there's
or quality.
Yeah. but I mean, that's something that comes up in the survey feedback. That's a very common theme. When people have talked to us, when we've been at places like Sunstone, that's something that they've commonly talked about. So, I think anything that any of us are really interested in or passionate about is fair game to explore. So
I think that's a totally valid point. And Glenn, I don't know. This is like one of those behind the scenes episodes in a way, because normally we do this over email thing, and then like, you know, listeners just hear the thing that we're going to talk about instead of us talking about the thing that we're not sure if we're going to talk about it. And I guess I just want to say, you know, for the record, I've often been the stickler in the past where it's like, I don't know if we should do that, you know, and I feel like just saying I feel bad about that in some ways, because I want people like Scott not to feel like there's this layer he has to submit forms in triplicate before, you know, the approval comes the next quarter or something. So I mean, what the fuck, just talk about whatever you want to talk about, and we'll get comments if it's way off or if it's not interesting. There'll be less download. I mean, there's all sorts of things where we just correct and we throw things out there, and that's more what Infants on Thrones is as a working model, and I think that's fine.
Yeah, and just to make it clear to everybody, I've loved this episode. I think this is a great discussion to have.
I'm like hedging a little bit. I'm like, I don't know.
No, this is super interesting to me, because it gets to that issue that we've been talking about, is like, how do we assess things and how do we approach these topics and questions and the different ways that we're making these kind of judgment calls. I mean,
Bob and Jake, we are only spoon-fed from news organizations.
No, that's...
I'm straw-manning my own side. Sorry, Jake.
Yeah.
I'm glad, and
there has been legitimate controversy surrounding BuzzFeed's decision. So I think before we go taking this big step to read every word in this thing, we're going to we're going to have a conversation and talk about it.
Gotcha.
Well, I appreciate that you know, you've heard out my some of my reservations about this, and to be clear, like, I don't think that
wait there's more. There's more? You said some of my reservations? There's more?
Subtext, you shut me in.
All of my reservations. Yeah, that's the whole point of this thing, is like, lance the boil and get it out there. So it's I appreciate you taking the time to hear me out. And I think that if there's any two people in the world that I feel like are going to do this thing right, I think it's you and Matt.
Well, I think Glenn's on board too.
And Glenn.
But
no,
but
he doesn't count.
You and Matt, because
he knows better than Trump.
It's only Matt. Only Matt and Scott. Glenn's involved. It goes down a notch. I'm just kidding. I love Glenn.
Looking right at me when he said it too. So.
Well, cool. Did we beat this horse enough?
Should I start recording?
Did you start recording? Yeah, please. Yeah.
Hey, fine. How about no echo chamber, man? Aren't we proving that today?
Yes,
that's right.
And I think this is a good example of, we do battle about things, and we certainly don't have the same.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it sounds like we're in agreement on things, but a lot of times it's because we've figured things out and gone through a process. And this is a good example of that. But I did want to say something, Bob. I think. I can just speak for myself, and this may become completely uninteresting. The stuff that I care about right now are politics and other things. So I don't want to talk about Mormonism very much at all anymore, but the stuff that's going on right now really matters to me more than, and I've never really been into politics and these things, but we're at a time in history, I think, that's very unique. And a part of this process is me understanding the world better and understanding these issues better. And I've learned so much about myself and about life and about just things that really matter and that have had impact by bouncing things off you guys and being on the podcast and taking some time to prepare and mainly vet my thought process through you and have that checked and challenged. And that's the stuff I'm thinking about. And so that's the stuff I want to talk about.
No, that's great. And I come at it slightly differently in the sense that I still have huge reservations in terms of my ability to be manipulated over and over again, because I have had that happen to me so many times in my life. And so when it comes to politics, especially in this environment, I mean, I'm trying to be self-aware about it, but sometimes I sort of check out, or I'm very reluctant to share any insight that I think I have, because it could just be, you know, partially misinformed and not interesting because I don't feel like I'm super good at it. And, you know, but then at the same time, we are in this moment of history where I don't want to be the pacifist person on the sidelines who just plugs his ears and then things happen and I'm not standing up and saying something. So I struggle. I have like an inner struggle about it. And so I read your stuff online on Facebook, Matt, and I find it really interesting. It's just that I'm like glad that you're doing it so that I can be like, I know that guy. And I guess I agree with him, but I don't want to say my own thing, because like, then you guys hold my feet to the fire and I'm not ready for that. So I probably said a whole lot of nothing there, but whatever.
Yeah, I think the tension around this document is actually kind of at the heart of what is going to be, what really is, what journalism and how do people get information in this, in the age of social media? Like, it's just weird. Like, this election was really weird for a lot of reasons, but I mean, chief among them for me, it was that, you know, Twitter is now like a valid platform by which people can like announce policy initiatives and stuff.
Well, and like WikiLeaks too, like the role of WikiLeaks and how that plays into this whole story is interesting too, like, because the whole DNC hack that was facilitated, you know, if we take the US intelligence reports seriously, then the Russians hacking our democratic process was facilitated by WikiLeaks, which generally I'm kind of a fan of. But in this instance, it's really caused me to question myself and say, maybe this, like, all secrets are let loose through this sort of anonymous website that can just publish anything.
Right.
Maybe that actually encourages bad actors to mess democracy up.
Right.
Like, that's a huge cultural problem, or a huge cultural question right now that
right.
I think we're all kind of dealing with. And that's a big part of this story. It's a big part of what's in the dossier. So,
yeah. Yeah. And I think it's right at the heart of all of these big questions about how people get information and digest information. And, you know, you can't just be these legacy news organizations that where everybody, you know, watches Walter Cronkite at, you know,
right.
5 p.m.
That's
or whatever.
That's like, just over. That's
right.
That's not. Yeah.
Right. So like what is the future of that? And I feel like there's kind of an identity crisis of journalism that's going on right now. And BuzzFeed's decision to publish it was like a microcosm of that. So it's a super interesting story. And the context of this is just fascinating.
Yep.
Cool.
So you guys do a great. You're going to do a great job, I'm sure. I'm sure all my fears are unfounded, but I just have them.
Thank you for listening to Infants on Thrones.